unable to breathe through my nose or talk or something like that. And thankfully felt just pretty much fine today. I want us to look at this passage, and then we want to talk about the Alexamenos Graffito, but we'll get there in a minute. Paul's talking to the Corinthians here, and the Corinthians have a compromised view of God, a view of the world, a view of spirituality. And they think they're very spiritual, but really they're not. They're really too much like the world and are too much impressed by the world, too much trying to be like the world and be kind of half in the world. And Paul is trying to help them see that the wisdom of God is so different from the wisdom of this world. He says in verse 18, the word of the cross, the message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, those who are lost, those who don't know God. But to us who are being saved, that's us, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So what looks like foolishness to the world is actually truly God's power and God's wisdom. And we dilute God's power and wisdom when we mix it in and dilute it with the things of the world. We take away the power of God when we try to water it down and make it like the thinking of the world. God says he is against the wisdom of this world. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the discernment of the discerning, I will thwart. Where are these wise guys? Where's the wise, the scribe, the debater? God has shown the wisdom of the world to be foolish because people tried to find God through wisdom and it didn't work. And so, in the wisdom of God, God made sure the world would not find God, would not know God through wisdom. And so, Paul preached a message that was foolishness to the world. Jews demand signs. Paul shows up in a synagogue, says, this is the Christ, this is the kind of life you should live, this is true righteousness, this is what God wants. And they see their scriptures, but they don't like what Paul has to say. And so they say, show us a miracle, right? I want a sign. I'll believe you if you give me a sign. And that's the idea. Jews want a sign, and they're not going to be convinced by the truth or the power. Show me something else, right? The Greeks, to the Greek way of thinking, the message of the cross is foolishness. Because the message of the cross is not just what Jesus did, that's what he wants us to do. He's leading, and we're following in that same path, in those same footprints. So the message of the cross is not just Jesus happened to die on a cross. It's that if whoever wants to be like him needs to take up his own cross. He needs to live the crucified life. And the crucified life, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The Greek says that's folly, that's madness. That's the opposite of wisdom. Why would you throw your life away? And God shows us the power of the life that the world might say, well, you're throwing your life away. But what Jesus teaches us is that's how we save our life. This message of the cross, foolishness and folly to Gentiles, but those who are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is the Alexamenos Graffito. Don't say that every day. This was discovered in Rome about 150 years ago. Obviously, that's a little hard to see, but it was carved, and they were around the time, they think, of around the year 300 or so. This is what it looks like if you just kind of make a pencil sketch of that. And I don't read Greek graffiti. I'm guessing most of you don't read Greek graffiti. But that guy with his hand raised up to what looks clearly like a donkey on a cross. The words here are, Alexamenos worships his God. What did your Greek, Latin, Roman audience think of worshiping a man as God who'd been crucified? They thought that was the stupidest thing they'd ever heard. Why in the world would you worship a God who gets crucified? I mean, a God covered in gold, a God who, you know, is powerful with light shining off of his face, a God who, you know, gives beautiful music, who gives you crops. Those are good gods to worship, right? I could go to a temple and a God covered in gold and jewels, bow down to that kind of God, expecting that God to give me some nice things in return. But why in the world would I worship a God crucified, couldn't even help himself, couldn't do anything, it looks like? What folly, what madness. Why in the world would you take up that kind of God and live that kind of life? For the message of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. A couple thoughts for us tonight. Number one, don't be discouraged when what we believe looks really stupid to the world. They're not the judges of wisdom. God has shown us what real wisdom is, that even though it looks stupid or ridiculous to the world, we know deeper that we serve an amazing God, that we're not serving a God of death, we're serving the God who gives life. People forget we're all destined for the grave. The question is not if we're going to die. The question is, do we serve the only God that can help you once you're in death? Do you serve the only God that can raise the dead, the God of life who made all things? And so, when we give ourselves to God, the world's not going to get pieces of that. It may be that the elements of the scripture they don't get or appreciate or see value in. They see that as madness instead of wisdom. There may be things about worship. There may be things about the Christian life. There may be things about theology and reality they don't get, they don't appreciate. Fundamentally, there's going to be things about God himself. God himself that we value and think are great about God that the world says, well, that's ridiculous. But don't be intimidated by that. When the world doesn't get it, the world doesn't appreciate God, we do appreciate God. And it's okay if other people don't get that and don't value God. We see that he is glorious. We see that he is good. We see that he is an amazing God, and he's the only thing worth serving. And that brings us to our second point tonight, which is that we're going to have to live a life that looks like madness to the world. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. We need to serve God in a way that doesn't fit with how the world looks at things. We need to live in this alternate reality, which is the real reality. That when the gospel turns things upside down, when the world was already upside down, the gospel's turning it right side up again. So it's okay if they don't get us. But our second point tonight is we're going to have to live a life that the world doesn't get. And if the world gets and the world looks at our life and everything makes sense, we're not living radically enough. We're not living a life that the world would look at as madness. People would look at Jesus' life and say, Jesus, you threw your life away. Why did you serve God so diligently those 30 years as a carpenter? Why did you become a homeless person? Why did you pour yourself out day after day with no roof above your head? Why did you stand up in a way that got you in trouble and got you killed at a ripe young age? Jesus, that's madness. That's folly. You just threw your life away. And Christians, why are you Christians throwing your life away? Don't you know that the good life is this or that? But if we're living what the world calls the good life, then we're too deluded. We're too deluded with worldly thinking. We need to take up the foolishness of the crucified life, live as Jesus did, and trust ourselves fully to God, losing our life so that we can save our life, giving away everything so that we can gain everything. So that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Does our life just look normal? Does it look pretty much American? The things that we're doing with our time, our effort, our money, our families, our relationships, our jobs, you name it. Is that just kind of like how the world would say, yeah, that's a pretty good way to live your life? And if we're kind of just living our life the way that the world would say that's wisdom, I suspect we haven't really taken in the wisdom of God, this wisdom that is foolishness to the world. But we who know God know that it is the power of God, and that that is love in action, faith in action, trust and humility and surrender in action, the only life worth living, that Jesus shows us what that blessed life is. And so tonight, I've been asked to give this longer-ish invitation. What an invitation. What an invitation to say, come and live the foolish life. Well, it may be foolishness to the world, but those who know what real life is, knowing God, a relationship with our loving God, a relationship that gives life, that we don't cling to this world. Because when you sow to this world, you sow to the flesh, you just reap decay and corruption. But when you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting eternal life. Will you join God's people who are trying to sow to eternal things, surrender to God, find eternal life in Him, to escape the madness of this world, to escape the death of this world, and to, in our own way now and in the age to come, be entering into eternal life? That's our invitation to the true wisdom of God, to let go so that God Himself can fill you and change you. Will you join us in this glorious path? Maybe even let us know how we can help you now while we stand and sing a song of invitation.